Thank you very much. I got a little little story to share with you guys tonight, little victory story. A couple of weeks ago, I was on a night shift at my work, and on the notice board there was this little note on an A4 sheet from the cleaning lady at my work. She's saying her granddaughter was going on a mission trip to Cambodia from church, and she's raising money. And I thought, man, I never carry cash in my wallet, usually cards, you know. But I checked my wallet and I had $5. I thought, this is for a good thing, and I just want to give it. She walks in at 6:30 in the morning, and I said, oh, you know, heard your granddaughter is going on a mission trip. And I said, oh, I'll give you some money towards it. And anyway, that's it, finished. I bought a couple of tickets and went home. 2 weeks later, I get this text message saying, I won the first prize, and it's a big speaker system. I never win things in life, but but you know, the interesting thing is, about a month ago, I said to Krupa, you know, hey, keep an eye out for any speaker system on sale or whatever, because we want to take it out to the streets when we do street ministry. We want to play some music. And I said, God, just provide for us. And God surely heard my prayer, I think. And I got a speaker system, so I picked it up this morning. God is good, amen? Like good old Trevor Chandler used to say, God just winged at me. So he surely winged at me, and he keeps winging, so it's good. Why don't we just pray? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for tonight. Thank you that you are in our midst, and Lord, heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word shall never pass away. Lord, I just pray that every word that I speak tonight may glorify you and be exalted in this place. Lord, I just pray that you would touch people's lives tonight, and once again, Lord, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Richard Baxter once said this: the cost of obedience is nothing compared with the cost of disobedience. I will say that again. The cost of obedience is nothing compared with the cost of disobedience. And the word obedience is mentioned numerous times in the Bible, right from the very start, in the book of Genesis, all the way to the end, the book of Revelation. God carries this amazing theme of obedience all throughout the scripture. And tonight, I want to share a few thoughts about this whole topic of walking in obedience with God. And who is excited about that? And I believe it is one of the hardest things in a Christian life, to be obedient. It is not always fun. But tonight, I'm here to tell you there is joy involved. Amen. Good on you, man. There is joy involved in walking in obedience with God. And this joy compels us to walk in obedience, not just when things are convenient for us, not just when life is going good, not just when it doesn't cost you anything. This joy compels us to obey God all times, through thick and thin. And I'm learning this as a man trying to follow God, that if I try and obey God, you know, He brings things together. He provides for me in amazing ways according to His glorious riches. It's not always easy. It's not always fun, but it is good. Walking in obedience. And tonight I want to look into 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 17 to 19. If you could please put that up. Thank you. Jesse said to his son David, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines. Now, this whole scenario happens after God appointed and anointed David as the king of Israel. God said to Samuel, Prophet Samuel, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be the king of Israel. Now, when Samuel arrives at Jesse's house, Jesse brought all of his 7 sons out of his 8 sons right in front of him, all tall, young warriors ready to take over the kingdom. And one by one, God says to Samuel, not this one, not that one, not this one, not that one. And Samuel said to Jesse, have you got any other sons? God's not approving any of this. Is there another son you got? And Jesse said, it's interesting how Jesse responds. He said, there is still the youngest one. It's so interesting, he didn't even mention his youngest son by his name. It's so interesting that he didn't even bother bringing him in front of Samuel. Jesse was like, why would you even bother? He's nothing but a shepherd. Out in the wilderness, out in the mountains, tending the sheep, looking after my sheep. He's not fit to be king. Why would you bother? But you know what? Just because you ask, I'll bring him in. Just because you ask, I'll bring him in. And the moment David walked in, the Lord said to Samuel, arise and anoint him, for he's the one. I don't know about you guys, but every time I read this, it gives me goosebumps. A little shepherd boy walks in, and God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, saying, arise and anoint him, for he's the one. Absolutely brilliant. The one they didn't even bother mentioning the name, the one they didn't even bother bringing in, was the one God chose to be the next king. If God decides to raise you up, if God decides to move into your life, if God decides to move in your life powerfully and mightily, there's nothing, there's nobody, there's no force that can stop God. And you know, you don't need to be standing up in front of people. You don't need to be showing off your skills to show people that you're good enough to be doing something. You know what? You could be out in the wilderness, but nobody's watching you, and God will choose you. Amen? Now, going back to 1 Samuel 17, I got a little sidetracked there, but I got to always mention about this. It really gives me such joy. Going back to 1 Samuel chapter 17, Jesse sends David to his brothers who are in the battlefield fighting the Philistines. Now, you got to understand, God already anointed David as the king. And Jesse asked David to take roasted grains and bread and cheese to the battlefield. Are you serious, Father? Did you not hear what Samuel said? I'm actually the next king of Israel. Did you not hear what God said? Rise and anoint, I'm the one. And you are asking me to take peanuts and bread and cheese to the battlefield? What do you think the Philistines would think? What do you think the people of Israel would think? Here's the next king carrying peanuts with us, for us. Lord, this doesn't make any sense to me. Is that why you anointed me as the king, to carry food to the battlefield? Now, David could have said all these things, but he didn't say that. David could have said all these things. In fact, he did the total opposite. He left his flock of sheep with another shepherd, and he did exactly what his father Jesse had instructed him to do. David had no idea he was about to see something amazing. David had no clue that God was setting him up for something great. David had no idea God was about to be glorified through David in the battlefield in front of the Philistines. And God perfectly orchestrated this whole thing so he can be in the battlefield taking food and stand over a 9 feet tall Philistine beast, Goliath. Am I preaching to somebody tonight? Amen? That same day, David took the food to his brothers in the battlefield. It was the same day he stood over a 9 feet tall Philistine beast, Goliath, and cut his head off. Now, the interesting thing is, but David had to be obedient to the little things for God to do the mighty things. David had to be obedient in the little things for God to do the mighty things. Now, David could have said, "Forget it, Father. Why don't you take it? I should be in the front line fighting for the nation of Israel. How about you take the peanuts? I'll go fight." If he was to deny Jesse's instructions to go take the food, he would have missed an opportunity for God to do wonders in his life. He would have missed his opportunity for God to be glorified through David. He would have missed his opportunity if he denied to go to the battlefield and if he was to be disobedient. You know, all of us want to be used by God in mighty ways. All of us want God to move into our lives in great ways, but how often are you obedient to God in the little things? How often are you obedient to God when things don't make sense to you in your life? God wants us to be obedient in the little things. God wants us to be obedient when things don't make sense, when life looks pear-shaped, when life doesn't go the way you want it. Because great and mighty things happen when we walk in obedience. Because He works in mysterious ways, and because He is God, He is a sovereign God. His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. So be obedient in the little things so that God can use you in the mighty things. And tonight I want to share with you, why is it obedient? Why is obedience so important to God as a Christian? As we walk in obedience to Him and His commands, it leads us to joy, it leads us to victory, it leads us in the righteous path. And disobedience always leads to destruction. It always leads to damage. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 1 to 2 says, "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God." Now God wants His children to receive all that He has for them as we walk in obedience to Him. And after the death of Moses, God appointed Joshua to lead the nation of Israel to the promised land, which God promised to Abraham. Now, a big task, a massive task. And Joshua obeyed God at all times, at all times. And as a result of his obedience to God, he saw incredible, incredible miracles happen in front of him and before the eyes of the nation of Israel. God did a miracle by stopping the flow of River Jordan so that they could cross on dry land. And now they come up with this massive obstacle of the wall of Jericho. What do we do? God, did you bring us out to face this? How are we gonna survive this? We were out in the wilderness for 40 years. We don't have the most sophisticated weaponry. We don't have F-16 fighter jets. We don't have intercontinental ballistic missiles. We don't have machine guns. We were out in the desert for 40 years. We got nothing. And you have made us come stand here in front of the wall of Jericho. And it's interesting what God says to Joshua. "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men." I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. And God said, march around the city one time. Do that for 6 days. And on the seventh day, march around seven times with all the armed men. How does that work, God? It's not the most common military strategy that I ever heard of, God. What do you think the people of Jericho would think, these people marching around blowing the trumpets? The strategy is never heard of. It's not making sense to us, God. But Joshua is saying, but I will do it, Lord, just because you say it so. I will do it. I have seen the mighty works of your hands in the past when Moses was alive. I've seen miracles happen in my life. I know your strength. I will do exactly what you say. And because of that simple act of obedience, and on the seventh day, there was a massive war cry. There was a massive loud, and the walls of Jericho comes down. And you know, that simple act of obedience gave them something so big. They were able to enter the promised land because of a simple act of obedience to God. And the interesting thing is, because of Joshua's obedience to God, not only did Joshua benefit from that, but the whole nation of Israel. The whole nation of Israel benefited from Joshua's simple act of obedience. God was glorified through Joshua because of his obedience. Their enemies saw the power of God. When you walk in obedience, not only are you impacted by God's work, the people around you, your family, your friends, your colleagues, your community, your church, your obedience will impact everyone around you. Jesus remained obedient to his Father at all times. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 38, for I have come down not to do my will, but the will of the Father who sent me. I have come down not to do my will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst of the trial and the tribulations and all the temptations, even in the midst of the agony that he faced at the Garden of Gethsemane, even in the midst of the torture that he endured at the hands of the Roman soldiers, even in the midst of the most horrible, torturous execution that the humanity ever discovered, the cross, Jesus remained obedient to his Father. And as a result of his obedience, you and me have the hope of eternal salvation. You and me have the hope of eternal salvation because of Jesus' obedience to his Father in heaven. And just as God raised Joshua to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land, Jesus Christ, our leader, the greatest shepherd, wants to lead us into God's promises in our lives. Amen? You know, I had to pick the story of Joshua because I had to do an assignment for Bible college. And you know what? Bible college was the best thing that I ever, you know, decided to do, to be honest. You're forced to read, you're forced to write things. And you know what? God's just speaking, downloading stuff. And I'm just, oh man, I'm weak. I can't take this all. You're so amazing, God. You're so beautiful. Can I please request the band to come up, Dan? Tonight I want to ask you this question. Are you living in obedience? And what does living and walking in obedience to God mean to you? Are you obedient to God when things go well in your life? Are you obedient to Him when things look pear-shaped? Are you obedient when things don't make sense? Are you obedient to Him in the little things that God's asking you to do? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your heart. And this is the first and the greatest commandment. And Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Your obedience to God is the key to victory in your life. Your obedience to God is a key to a great move of God in your life. You know the story, Peter and the boys, they've been fishing all night. Caught nothing. Fishing all night, worked hard, caught nothing. And Jesus said, Peter, I know, you worked all night, I know. I know you haven't even caught a little yabby. Why don't you cast the net down on the right side? Peter said, Lord, Master, are you serious? You are a carpenter by trade, and I'm a very seasoned, experienced fisherman. I fished these waters all my life, and you're asking me to let down the nets. It's not making sense to me. There's no fish in here. Little did Peter know he was talking to the creator of the heavens and the earth. Little did Peter know that this person standing there actually created this lake. Little did Peter know that he put the fish in that lake. And Peter said, just because you say so, Master, I will let the nets down. Just because you say so. It's not making sense, but I'll do it because you say so. You know, the problem Peter and the boys had before was empty nets. But a simple act of obedience. And now the problem is breaking nets. Now they're breaking nets. Before they had empty nets. God's speaking to you tonight. You know, I didn't pick this topic just because I have to preach out of obligation. I never do it out of obligation. But you know, obedience has been brewing in me for a little while lately. And it is a message for the church tonight. Maybe you're trying to be obedient to God in a difficult circumstance where things aren't making sense to you. Maybe it's your marriage, it's your relationship, it's your financial situation or your job situation. You didn't get the job you wanted. Or you're having trouble at the job wherever you are. Maybe you're battling with some sort of addiction in your life. Maybe you're battling with sins in your life. Maybe you're wrestling with unforgiveness towards somebody in your life. And it's not making sense to you. You're trying to be obedient to God, but it's hard. And tonight, God wants you to know it is God's job to bless you and to guide you and to lead you and to prosper you and to restore you and to heal you. But He wants you to know it's your job to be obedient. It is your job to be obedient. And tonight as we sing together, I want to open up the opportunity for you. If God spoke to you tonight, and if you need to respond to His call, He's calling you to start a new life of obedience. And if that is you, can I encourage you to come out? Just like Jesus laid down His life on the cross for us out of obedience. Will you lay down your life for Him in obedience? Will you do that tonight? Maybe you never accepted Jesus Christ in your life. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. He never forces a relationship onto you, but He keeps knocking at the door of your heart. And you got the handles to the door. He never pushes in. You will have to open the door for Him, and He will dine with you tonight. And if that is you tonight, can I encourage you to come forward? Be bold. Many times, I wish somebody called me to the front so I could get prayed for. And tonight, God's calling you to a new life of obedience. And as we sing this song, as we worship tonight, open up your heart. And I want to pray for you. Thank you, Dan. God bless you.